It's time for
the second funniest podcast
with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is episode 420, man. I am your host, Justin Worsham, and we are doing a special episode via Skype. I am in Omaha, Nebraska, while Mr. Miller is still in Hollywood, California. That's right, the one, only. I wish they all could be this kind of girl. TheKevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin. How are you?
'Tis the beginning of time, since man doth rolleth out of its own grave called the crib, and did what for mankind's own justification, Justin Worsham.
That was awesome with the music. Kind of overbearing you, to be honest. That was, I tried to fade it out, but then it just went to a right ear. So hopefully this comes out in mono and that wasn't distracting. But, you know, we figured we'd try this, and just in case. What if we couldn't get together and I was on another part of the country and we wanted to still provide content, right? You know? Yeah, exactly. So
this is weird. I'm beginning to understand why so many 14-year-old boys have no social life, because this is very comfortable. I have you... on this screen that I'm looking at. I'm sitting in the comfort. I'm in my pajamas.
Yeah.
I woke up 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And it's like you're here. It's like we could be dating. You know, they have the Skype dating folks. Have you seen that?
No.
But you go on a Skype date with someone, kind of like our Facebook friends that do the Skype party. Mm-hmm. The Skype dates are where you both cook a meal and then go into your room and sit down in front of your computer.
So it's like that. Isn't that a commercial for Windows 7 or something from way back where they go to sleep together and they like lay their laptop on their side?
Yeah, that's like Skype date extreme. And then you sit there and you go on a date. I heard that. I was like, that is just about the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But it's endearing. I think it's cute. Like, why not? I wish if I wasn't married, I wish I could do that. That would be kind of fun.
I don't know. It maybe is like a joke, but I mean, part of dating is the ability to like see them and you know, possibly touch them.
Maybe this weekend you should leave your wife alone, and then we'll go on a mandate to go see a movie while I'm here in Omaha, and we'll do it through FaceTime. Maybe we'll try that.
Oh, I love this plan. We need Wi-Fi though. Near a Starbucks.
Yeah.
But like, you need to be able to smell the girl. Girls smell good and some smell bad.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If you can't smell them, you know, how do you know if you want to date them?
Yeah, but you kind of cancel that out. Some ladies do smell bad. Some ladies smell amazing. So, but if it's virtual, they smell however you want. You know what I mean? You put a little Coco Chanel on your upper lip, and she smells amazing all night. If that's your thing, I don't know what your thing is. Me, I go Lady Stetson because I like a lady that can rope a cow.
That's the problem with online dating in general, though, is that because when I would do the online dating, I'd read these profiles and be like, you're hilarious. You're so funny. And I meet him and be like, you're mean. You're not nice. I don't like you. I don't like to talk to you. But I did. I almost thought about taking Kat on a date based on the dating website. howaboutwe.com. Have you seen this?
No.
It's the most brilliant website. You should go there right now while we're talking.
I am.
everyone, whatever you're doing, if you're driving, even go there. How about we
go to how about we? Oh, find dates to go on. So I am a man and I am interested in women. I like people that are age. Well, let's be honest. I mean, people know on the show. Oh, I can't wait to see what it lets me do. Oh, yes, it does.
How old?
15 to 45. That's right. That's right in daddy's wheelhouse.
You know, you just got tagged by the feds.
Welcome to the no-fly list. And I'm going to find a date?
Yeah, so it'll bring up...
I'm a married man. How can this... Oh, things that I could do with a woman of that age?
Yeah, no, it should, once you hit find dates, it's things that you can suggest something and they suggest things. And it's like, it's being obnoxious. Go
away. It wants me to log in and create an account and all that stuff.
But you can scroll down and see, and like someone says, how about we ...
Yeah, talk and get to know each other, maybe get dinner sometime. So these are their ideas. So this is like a dating website, but these are their ideas. No, and you could look through what I would enjoy from somebody?
So what you could do is you're like, here, I want to meet somebody that is into wine tasting. So you'd say, how about we go wine tasting? And then you post that. And then other people are like, oh, I'd be interested. And then you sign up and you can link up with people that want to do that date with you. Mm-hmm. So you're like, how about we go see an art movie and then sit in a coffee shop afterwards and discuss the film? Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of girls would log on and say, I'd be down with that. I'd be down with that. And then you connect with them and go and do that thing. How about we do, there's a bunch of funny ones, like how about we do a bar crawl through Santana Row? That kind
how
of
about
thing.
We learn to do a one-handed bra unhooking?
Yes.
Can I be how that about, forward? Would that be?
How about we go for an early hike and then some breakfast? So, like, that's perfect because this girl wants, you know, she wants to find a dude that wants to get up early, likes hiking. There's a lot in that. And so a guy that would be like, that's for me. She's already eliminated a lot of dudes just with that one suggestion.
Oh, this is a cool idea. I wonder how young.
I was like, where was this when I was not?
I'm a little disappointed in the pre-selected ladies that they have for me. None of them are 15. I don't understand why they give you that parameter. Like,
well, I like this one. Take a day trip to Malibu and go hiking and or walk up the Getty Villa and go have dinner and then get arrested because I'm under 14.
That one was for me, then. Okay.
This one's for you.
Yeah, but I mean, is she really 14? If she wants to go see the Getty Center, this is my favorite argument of guys that are into way too young chicks. If she's got an old soul. She's got an old
right.
soul.
It's always creepy. My history teacher used to say that all the time.
That you have an old soul?
About all the cheerleaders.
Oh, about all the cheerleaders. Yeah. Now I hope that was a bit because it was if it was a bit, I was a complete victim of it.
Yes.
I went, what?
Because
your history teacher sounded like a chick, and then I went, wait a minute.
See, the thing that's tough about high school is that in this one English class, they had us read what was The Graduate loosely based on?
That movie with Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, it's that book that everybody...
I'll look it up. You keep going.
They make you read, but it's intrinsic to the story. It's about him being, I guess The Graduate is about that, is that older woman is trying to hit on Dustin Hoffman, right, and try to sleep with her. So I make, like, an offhanded comment in English
It's called
class.
The Graduate. The novel is called The Graduate.
The Graduate, oh, and then...
The movie is also called The Graduate.
Yeah, I'm thinking of something else then.
Hunger Games?
Anyway, so we watched The Graduate in English class. Mm-hmm. And so I make this offhanded comment about the English teacher, who is this like 50-year-old, balding, big Italian dude, hooking up with the cheerleaders. And everybody laughs. Ha, 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 ha. And the next day, somebody else makes a similar joke. About like you'd know about that, wouldn't you? Ha ha! And the room laughs, and he takes that guy out of the room. He goes, "Jonathan, I'd like to speak with you."
What you doing
and
is inappropriate.
He walked that dude outside and gave him a talking to. I assume about appropriate comments and not slandering his names. And I thought, you know, I started it. I felt totally guilty because I had made the same joke the day before.
Well, maybe if it happens once, he's like, "Oh, it's an anomaly." But when it happens twice, he's like, "Maybe there's word spreading that I'm trying to get after
cheerleaders." Yeah, exactly. And I get it, but at the same time, like this is what he's forcing us to study. Yeah. Like we are actively looking at adults sleeping with children. That is the content in the room.
Well, he's not a child. He's a 20-something-year-old person, but.
What? Well, yeah. But the idea is there of like inappropriate relationships. So,
were you thinking of Rumor Has It, that movie with Jennifer Aniston?
No. Okay. I'm messing it up. This is where I'm not an intellect, that there is. The Graduate was, and there's a book that everybody has to read in high school that the author refused to ever let turn into a film, so they made The Graduate instead because it was a close.
Oh, it was close to that?
It's close enough. So, but I'll remember my high school education later. This episode, how long have we been recording? It has nothing to do with video games.
We're 10 minutes in already.
Sweet.
We're good at this.
Lots to discuss this week and next week. We can discuss what's happening in gaming news. That'd be good.
Okay.
For this week, and then we'll discuss a very important topic that's close to my heart next week. Uh-oh. Or next episode.
What is it?
Racing games.
Ooh, close to your heart.
Yes.
Are you being ironic?
No, I'm being very serious.
Really?
So Guild Wars 2 is extremely close to a release. They announced this week that they've got their collector's edition together.
Mm-hmm.
Guess something that will be in their collector's edition.
In Guild Wars, I'm the worst person possible to ask this. So let's see, what would they want?
Well, what do you think about collector's editions in general? What do you think?
Some kind of tin box.
Yeah.
some kind of artwork, or it would be in the shape of like an elven head or something, I would imagine, in an MRAPGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGG set that is themed would probably be nice, but I feel like that would be too costly and people wouldn't really care for it. Like, that's a lot of stuff to have to throw in there for a cost, you know. An instruction manual might be something that they would be in.
Ooh, do you hear the plane flying over my new home? Can you hear it?
No, we cannot.
Well, that's good because it's super loud.
No, I can't hear anything. Let's see. I wish I knew more about this game. Action figures of each of the races.
Oh, but wow.
Everybody could build their own.
You had me because I thought I finally had you figured out, because the first thing you said is absolutely in it, a 10 box.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, yeah, he just went to the website.
No, no, I didn't. You know me. I can't cheat. I can't cheat at stuff like that. I'm not good at it.
How do I know? You're not even in the room.
No, remember, we've talked about this, though. Remember when I did comedy sports for the first time and I learned, what are you doing? And I would say, like, I don't know how these guys do this or whatever. And then they said something like, and you go, well, you think of it while the other person is saying theirs. I'm like, oh, that's not, isn't it cheating, though, if you don't say it in the moment or whatever? But, I mean, guessing, there would be artwork, a tin, some kind of ghoulish tiger figure in cool armor that could throw fire from his hands, and maybe a nice coffee table book, and then three other art prints that you could throw in a generic frame of some kind so you could rotate through. That's just perfect. I'm just spitballing here. I'm just spitballing.
You got it.
Whatever. That, and I would do it like
it's a stick of gum.
Oh, really?
It's a stick of gum.
Wow. Yeah. I should really work for them. I would, because if my with my collector's edition, I bet IGN would say everything about Guild Wars 2 shouts brilliant design. That's what I bet if they did my collector's edition. And then I would say, like, and you know, for a stick of gum, they're probably going to be able to charge an extra $10. But I would say the manufacturer's suggested retail price of my collector's edition would be about $149.99. Just spitballing.
Good
just
choice. Spitballing. Good choice.
And I would make sure that on my tin, instead of just putting the name of the game, I would put a map of the Mediterranean. As
no,
well.
That's Terria. Oh, thanks.
Well, I would do the Mediterranean on mine. I mean, that's the, whatever. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, because you typically will throw out like one real thing and then a few fake things. And I thought for sure you were cheating, because while you say you're an incredibly honest guy, I've played Mafia with you. And I'm still, that was like 10 years ago. And
the point of that game is to lie. That's like,
you know, I know the guy who owns the patent to that game.
What?
Yeah, he went online and saw that no one owned a patent to it, so he patented it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, do a search for Mafia card game, and he prints them when he's got money. He makes them and prints them and sells them online.
For those of you guys who don't know, and I don't want to take up too much time of this with the shorter episodes and all, but Mafia is a card game where the King of Spades is the Mafia, and then you have the Jack of whatever, I think, is the cop, and then everybody else gets another kind of card within a deck. And then it's like a heads-up, seven-up type game where everybody puts their heads down, and there's a host who could see everything, and he says, okay, oh, that's what it is. You have the two kings, and they have to be black because those are the only people that commit crimes. So you do the King of Spades and the King of Clubs, and then
let that one hang out there.
I appreciate it. Like, it was funny. I'm like, wow, it sounds really real when that pause of just dead sits there. But the Mafia each pick a person to silently, like, they just point, so the only person who knows is the host, pick a person to kill. And then you have the mafia put their heads down. Everybody puts their heads up at the same time now. And then the host would say, oh, Kevin, you got killed by the mafia. And then you come up with the group comes up with three people that they think are the mafia. And then each of those people has an opportunity to defend themselves. And then the group votes on who they think the mafia is. And the group kills that person. And then they expose their card. So the group is trying to kill the mafia. And the mafia is trying to survive. Oh, and then the cop, how he comes into play is that after the... I think it's after the first round, he gets to pick his, or after, yeah, after the mafia decides who they're going to kill, the cop gets to pick and point at somebody and look at the host, and the host either shakes their head or nods their head if they actually chose somebody who is the mafia. And they only get to do that once. So they know one person in the group either is or not the mafia, and they can actually choose to show their card in, as like a badge and say, I'm the cop. I know so-and-so is the mafia or is not the mafia while they're trying to defend themselves kind of thing.
Yeah, and the bulk of the game happens in the conversation about yes. who is the mafia.
And the defense that, and all that. That's the fun.
And there's nothing really at stake. Like, people will try to give proof and evidence as to why they are, but there's no evidence.
Yeah.
So it's all just a game of lying to each other. Right. I'm not, I swear, I'm not. And you're just grasping at straws. And when Justin plays, he plays heavy cards. Look at me. Look at me. We're friends. I know you. I wouldn't do this to you. We're friends. You were the best man at my wedding.
You poor thing, because I've done that to you multiple times where I've actually said, I know I've done this before, but this time it's different because I know how it affected you last time.
And every time, I laid my life down for you. And I I think we should have some therapy because still, when people mention mafia, I go, I don't ever want to do that.
It makes me feel dirty. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt you. So back to Guild Wars and the Collector's Edition. So are you going to
purchase? That's a game. That's a game. There's so much to talk about. I feel like maybe we should be doing these shows in the morning because I'm like, we could talk about Collector's Editions. Right. We could talk about card games. We could talk about card games that turn into video games. We could talk about racing games, which are very important to me. There's just so much to discuss. What's it? We need to do podcasts in the morning.
It's just better for you. You're more awake and alert.
Apparently. I'm also, the whole time we've been doing this, I've been writing my taxes form up. It's been great.
How dare you? No, me maybe, too. I'm also doing my taxes.
Mornings aren't good for me.
Well, I've only gotten 5 hours of sleep, and I just got done doing 2.5 hours of morning radio in Omaha on the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, so I felt like I was even yawning when you called me on Skype. I'm like, oh, maybe this is a bad idea. But for some reason, Sam's voice just is like a shot of adrenaline in the heart.
Yeah.
And it just gets me going.
Right in the face. Right in the face. Okay, so Guild Wars 2, just to wrap that string up, Justin covered it. It's $149.99 for the collector's edition. I'm torn between the real edition, which is $60, and you know, once pay the price for Guild Wars, you never pay it again.
Yeah.
There's not an online subscription fee. Yeah. And this game has got so much buzz behind it. It's got as much weight behind it as Star Wars The Old Republic did before it came out, and it has a $15 a month charge. This game looks better. I don't think you could deny that. And it has a more innovative gameplay. The Star Wars Online, fantastic. I play it and love it. But if you're honest with yourself, the only thing that's really changed in the game is that when you go, instead of reading a wall of text on the screen, there's an interactive conversation that happens that is limited to how it affects the game. Limited. Whereas Guild Wars promises to create a whole new type of game with shifting universe or shifting landscape and good guys and bad guys changing every day and the land and, you know, areas. What do they call it? Like a completely breathing world, living, breathing world. So that's exciting to see that much buzz behind Guild Wars. When Guild Wars came out compared to World of Warcraft, it was like the poor man's MMORPG, right? It was just
I remember because I remember you talking about it and how like there wasn't enough people into it, but you thought it was a far superior game, not to mention the fact you didn't have to pay a subscription like you did on World of Warcraft. I remember
you saying
that. But
then you go into World of Warcraft and it's like it's Second Life and there's just a million different options and so much. They want you to live there, whereas Guild Wars, it's about playing the game and keeping things active. And now it's, you know, it's kind of like, I wish I knew enough about cars. What's a stupid little Japanese car that now runs everything? Like a Honda Civic?
Yeah.
It's like the Hondas coming in and being like, oh, that's so cute. And then everybody owning a Honda.
Yeah.
So the collector's edition has a 10-inch Rylock figurine, which is a char, these little cat beast Klingon things. 112-page Making of Guild Wars 2 book, which is pretty cool. And the Best of Guild Wars 2 soundtrack CD, an art portfolio, and 5 art prints, and a custom art frame, which is pretty cool. Now, you remember, Justin, you gave me Nightfall, Guild Wars Nightfall Collector's Edition for Christmas.
I did.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well, you did, and I appreciate it. And I love my Collector's Edition. It came with all sorts of fun physical things and a little art book and stuff. But then the digital stuff is where it's at. And this is where it's like, is this really worth $60 more?
Yeah.
But this is the stuff that will last for the entire length of the game. And for as long as I play it, I will always have a Summon Mistfire Wolf Elite skill.
It's amazing.
A miniature Rylock. So instead of having like a 10-inch real Rylock, I'll have a picture of one on a screen that will follow me around.
Okay. It's good to have.
The Chalice of Glory, which I can only assume makes everything taste like root beer. And a Tome of Influence, which is probably the phone book circa 1978. And a Golem Banker.
Oh, precious.
Which I don't even know what that means. None of that stuff I understand.
So none of these references are from the first game at all.
What's that?
None of these references are from the first game at all. Like, you don't know.
I understand what a mirror is. I understand skill, but I don't know what the skill is. So I don't know what it does.
You cut out on that. You understand what a is?
I assume the other.
You cut out on it.
I would imagine the Chalice of Glory and Tome of Influence are an item that probably do something. And the Golem Banker, I'm assuming, is if there's like a banking system that I have my own personal like banker, my own kiosk. That's what I'm guessing.
It's like a Merrill Lynch guy in a digital world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So is that worth paying for the game twice?
Here's what while you were talking about this, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, these collector's editions aren't, you know, obviously it's not for me. I'm not this ginormous Guild Wars fan. And I was thinking, well, you are, and you're even debating it. And so here's what I think that they should do with these collector's editions. I think they should do an early release. If you, you know what I mean? Like, if you drop the coin for the collector's edition, is that on here? Because I'm not making that up. I didn't read that. Is that on the website? I swear to God, I did not make that up.
Pre-purchase bonus. You get access to Guild Wars 2 beta. Like, if I buy it now, it comes out April 10th.
Uh-huh.
But the game doesn't come out till sometime in the summer, maybe the fall. But if I buy it by the pre-purchase now, I get access to beta weekends, a 3-day head start access, and a Heroes Band, which I guess is like Rock Band. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that idea. Well, then I think that, because if you're a big fan, you would be like, oh, it's worth twice the money to get it. You know, I think they should do earlier than a few days.
But I'm not one of those guys, and we've talked about this in the show. Maybe this is why our podcast hasn't taken off through the roof. Mm-hmm. It's because you and I are not the guys that are like, I need to know everything about this thing the moment it's available. Like, you know, all of our fans are dying to know what is happening in Sly 4. Right. Or that we have several people that have admitted that they only listen in case I accidentally slip up and let them know that Sly in the game.
And now I'm gonna have to edit that out.
Okay. Oh, crap. Did I say it again?
Yes. We've had to edit so many episodes since Sly 4 has become an issue. And then
all the info about Sly 5. Ooh, make sure you get a tight edit on that.
Oh, jeez, Kevin. You know what the best part, though, is that my favorite part is that there's something that slipped out in 1 year. I'm just thank God that never got out on the internet and people didn't go nuts with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Watch our premature or our archive downloads explode. That's right, my little nerdling. Scour our archives. That's unfair,
my
you guys.
Nerdlings.
I know, that's unfair. I'm sorry, guys. That's messed up.
No, I like it.
I'm a big fan.
I nerdling is the least offensive word I've heard.
Right, but I don't like condescending to the listeners. I think it's messed up. Because my fear is that it's going to come like, like sometimes I know there are bits that are racist that I don't really care. Weirdly enough, if I'm racist and people think this guy's really racist, or if they really do think I'm a pedophile, I don't care about that. But if they honestly think that I think our listeners are dumb or I don't appreciate them, that bothers me for some stupid reason.
Yeah, because it's that's real.
Yeah,
that's
right. Like... I don't want to get out there.
That's right, how
I'm
going
to have to edit
feel.
This.
What other games do you, have you? So you've never felt the need to buy a collector's edition.
I came close with Madden one time because they had it to where you could play old versions of the game. And I think bought it, but I never played the old versions of the game because I realized very quickly, like, well, why would you? Like, other than nostalgia, what's the point? Yeah. You have this amazing...
You would have to be, like, a serious Madden fan. And those guys exist that just sit around, and that's what they do. So I get that if you're like, oh, great, now I have all of these modes on one disc.
Yeah. But it was never that interesting. But I honestly think instead of it just being, like, a week earlier or the beta testing, like, I think that they could stand to make a lot more money. And I think that people who were hardcore, like, fans of Guild Wars 2, like, if you got a month early release... that with a collector's edition, you would easily drop the coin if you were that big of a fan. They would make a lot of money. And the bonus of having this premature release of like a month, that gives really, really hardcore fans a chance to play with just really, really hardcore fans. So you have like this kind of like a VIP lounge in the world of Tarnia or whatever you called it.
Tyria,
sorry. You know
Tarnia.
What I mean?
Welcome to Tarnia.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess it all sounds stupid.
I want to have that the right lock, you know, come and tell me and be like, well, welcome to the champagne room of Tyria. Like, you know,
yes.
And he moves a velvet rope and you enter in, you start to level up as quickly as you can. And
the other problem with the collector's edition is that it only exists when the game first is out. So if you don't buy it retail for $149.99 now when it's on shelves, if you decide later you're like, oh, you know what? I really do need those skills or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're out of luck. Like, it'll be $400. Like, it really does become a collector's edition.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll jump up. Like, you cannot find the first Guild Wars collector's edition. And here's a giant plane going overhead. So, like, Skyrim has had a same price for Skyrim. $150.
Wow.
You get a 12-inch tall dragon statue, a foot tall little dragon. Oh, like when you go up to read the words in Dragonese.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those obelisks. A fancy art book and a DVD about making Elder Scrolls V. Also, there's a map. There's like a cloth map of the world of Skyrim. And that's it. And that's $150.
Right now, you could click through our Amazon banner and get it for $93.69 on Amazon.
Oh, is it available?
Yeah. That's where I found it when I Googled it.
Oh, that's great. I bought the Spore Collector's Edition, and that was a waste of time. It had, it's a cool looking box, which is literally the only feature about it that I ever used because it sits on my shelf. I'm like, that looks like a cool box. But it had like an art book, and that was really it. And I think I paid $20 more for the collector's edition.
I'm such a checklist guy that even the artwork, like once I've read the coffee table book, you know what I mean? And that's, I think, also why, like, you're different in that you will keep your games, but because as soon as I finish them, I sell them on eBay. Like, collector's editions never make sense to me unless I honestly thought I could turn a profit more on that if I had the, maybe I could now.
You wouldn't be able to open it.
in order to, so it has to be like to sell it for $400, it'd have to be unopened and still in the box.
I think so. Let me see about Guild Wars Collector's Edition. Well, now it's going to bring up the new one.
I think then that would be worth it. But
yeah, but then you're, I don't know, like you have to keep it on a shelf, you have to keep it nice, you have to pack it nice.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Guild Wars. I bought the Star Trek Online Collector's Edition because I was like, I love Star Trek, as we saw from last time. Oh, I was wrong. The Guild Wars Collector's Edition is only $20. Don't do what I'm suggesting.
That's a big jump. That is a big jump down. But while I'm thinking of it, I think this would be a fun thing for people to chat about on the Book of Faces to see, like, you know, what are some collector's editions that have been worthwhile, and what made them worthwhile and what are some really crummy ones. You know, I would be interested to see what everybody's input is on that.
It sucks that I'm in the middle of this move because I used to be able to just reach and grab all of these things because they were my collector's edition. Yeah. But the Star Trek collector's edition came with a pen, like a communicator badge. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing worth actually owning in it. And then it had a really lame art book and it had some digital treat that was completely useless. Ugh. And that was probably the worst collector's edition I had ever purchased. And it's bigger. The box is bigger than any other box, so it doesn't fit on a shelf. It's all like funny shaped, and whenever I try to close it, I couldn't close the stupid box because of whatever was wrong with it. Stupid collector's edition.
Well, we're done. We got to wrap it up now.
Well, let me ask you, what collector's edition would entice you, and what would it need to have?
It would have to have like a ton of peripherals that and save me money. Like it has to be an economic thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not a collector. Edition. You know what
you
I mean?
You want the frugal edition.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would want. Like, because
you like the bundles.
I have no interest in collecting anything, like at all. Like the idea of, we talked about this a little bit because you moved or whatever. And I said, you know, when you move every 2 years like I have, your attachment to things become more of an annoyance than nostalgia. So I have memories of things, and it's interesting to see my son playing with my toys, but it's a limited amount of my toys. And it's also interesting and frustrating at the same time because you've seen how many toys my son has, and he's more interested in playing with my damn near 25-year-old He-Man toys than he is any of the hundreds of dollars that have been spent on him of modern toys. Like he is just, and he goes through these weird phases. Like for a while he wanted to play with nothing but his lightsabers, and then now he's back, he's into nothing but He-Man. That's all he wants to play with, He-Man, He-Man.
Even his lightsaber is He-Man. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, because that's the only real sword he has now, you know? Yeah. And so he pretends.
Justin is the co-host of the Dad Podcast. You can find it at dadsaremorefun.com. Thanks for being on the show, Justin.
I thought it was relevant. How dare you? How dare you? I've been away for 24 hours and I missed them, but when I get home, I hate them.
This is a little snippet from Justin's act. Save it for the show.
From the replicator. We had to have told that story. We got to move on, though.
We got to move on.
I'm not going to play the music because it'll be... Ooh, maybe... Oh, no, I can't. I was going to say maybe I could play it through iTunes, but I'll figure that out next time. Give us a call, 408-228-4911. And you know what? Here's what I'm going to do, because I know we have
one. What are you going to do?
We have a voicemail, so I'm going to tease this for next week. We're going to talk about what this guy said.
Hey, Justin and Kevin. My name is Steven Gutenchello. I was just calling. I just watched the new gameplay of Sly. It looks amazing. Just had a quick question. Maybe, I don't know, what's... what your favorite old school game was, and maybe, I don't know, what's the weirdest dream you have ever had? Anyways, thanks. Bye.
More on to that on episode 421.
So give us a call, 408-228-4911, like Steven did, or send us an email to show@secondfunniespodcast. A couple of people have already sent questions in, so if we ever run out of stuff to talk about, which doesn't seem like it's anytime soon, we will start perusing
especially
through
your random
questions and click through the banner, all that jazz. Don't forget to keep telling friends. You can share the episode via email if you go to secondfunniespodcast.com. Find your favorite episode, send them an email, share it on your Facebook. All that jazz. We're on Twitter, @secondfunniest. All of that. So on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.